That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning. That old wheel has rolled around again. The Saturday morning coffee with the Wranglers. And we welcome you here live to the a snowy radio ranch. A little brisk outside, about 7 degrees. And nice west wind takes it down to about a 4 below wind chill. But hey, as long as you stay inside, you're all right. But we welcome you here this Saturday morning, March 16th, 2019. And we've got a full crew for you this morning. And the phone line's open. Got that all rebooted, so we should be good with that. And good morning, Brother John.
Morning.
And we say good morning also to Brother Jason down there.
Good morning.
And we say the best for last. Good morning, Brother Tim, over in a wet but sunny right in Nebraska. Good morning, Tim.
Yeah, that's right. Good morning, everyone. Glad to be here.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant, from that join us from sea to shining sea, from all over, based on the emails and the letters and the phone calls we get. And welcome from Canada and from overseas as well, where that WTWW shortwave blasts these broadcasts out. All over the country and all over the world. So we do say good morning and welcome and thanks for joining us. Hopefully you have your Bibles and a good cup of coffee poured. And we'll have the phone lines open in a little bit. And Jason, if you'd open us up in prayer, that'd be just fantastic.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask your blessing upon us each and every day, Father. We pray that you be with us and our families and our loved ones and guide us and direct us in all that we do. Strengthen us and encourage us, Father. Allow us to be a light into a dark world. And we pray, Father, that you just use us in a mighty and powerful way. We hold up that shield of faith and extinguish any and all fiery darts of the evil one that would come against us in any way, shape, or form, Father. We call for them to be extinguished and sent back direct to sender. We pray that you just Continue to bless this land, Father. Change the hearts and minds of your people, Father. Bring them back to you, Father. Work in them, through them, Father. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, well, we'll also ask you folks to keep the people in Nebraska in your prayers. We were just talking with Brother Tim before the program about the severe flooding that's going on in eastern Nebraska. And if half this were going on in New Orleans, it'd be all over the front page of the news and everywhere else, it seems like. But because it's Nebraska, it's just, you just have to deal with it kind of a thing, it seems like. And so we do encourage you to keep them in prayer. Tim, I maybe we'll start out with that. You seem to be a little bit more up on it than we are. It's roads out and just was this part of this past blizzard that came through here that kind of brought rain over to you guys or what?
Yeah, we just got a lot of rain. We had several inches in a few hours, and the soil's already been saturated. We had an extremely wet fall last year, and it's been wet, and just had a lot of runoff, and it took out one dam called Spencer Dam over east, and that, of course, you know, daisy chained into several bridge failures, and in this part of the country, the north-south bridges that run out into the sand hills are few and far between over the Niobrara and the Loup rivers, which are major rivers north of the Platte, and it took those out. There's several people up there who, if they want to get south to what you'd call more urban centers, they've got to drive a long ways around to find a way across. The Platte River's really swollen, and I know that once again here a few years ago, Cooper Nuclear Station was in the news because of flooding, and once again it's on the watch list because of severe flooding on the Platte and Missouri River down there. The Platte River is really swollen, and so there's just a lot of roads washed out. And of course, they got more snow in the eastern part of the state as well. And Norfolk, Nebraska, is currently under an evacuation order, which is for this part of the country is a fairly good sized town. So far, last I heard, they had a third of Norfolk evacuated because the levees were breaking over there in that area from flood control levees, and they think they may have to continue the evacuations in that area. It's a hard thing on people to have to do that. And I kind of look at just like what you said as far as it not being on the front page, it seems like all that help brings along its own set of problems. So people in this part of the country kind of have a pioneer perspective on problems.
Sure.
They look at it like, well, we take care of each other, and there's a lot of people helping each other, and there's a lot of things going on, and there have been a couple of deaths as a result of some of that, but nothing too major. People are helping each other out, and it's continuing on. Praise the Lord. It works out according to His plan, I guess, and we appreciate that. No, I don't guess. I know it does, but
amen.
He's got it all in mind. But we're saturated. So
well, good. That hopefully make for a good growing season and a good summer. You know, we saw that here. We got hit with a blizzard here, basically the state of Wyoming shut down. Interstate 90 was closed almost from state line to state line. Interstate 80 was shut down from Utah to into Nebraska, and Interstate 25 from Colorado to Cheyenne up to Casper, that was all closed down. Basically, Wednesday and Thursday, the state was closed. 130 car pileup over on Interstate 25 when it tried to open up. It's just a mess. Denver, John, and you guys can talk. I know we had massive rain. It turned to, you know, freezing sleet and snow and wind and all that down there. It's wintertime. It's certainly going out with a bang. We know that spring starts on on Wednesday the 20th. excuse me, with the spring equinox, a couple 91st days wrapping up Monday and Tuesday, the 18th and 19th, that wrap up the solar year 2018. And at these season changes, it's, you know, there's times. March is going out like a lion. Winter is going out that way, at least out here. And this snow that we got went all the way back up to the Northern California mountains and came all the way across. And so it really is good weather in its season, the proper weather in its season. We are thankful for that. And we do pray, because when it comes all of a sudden, you know, like you said, sometimes the dams fail and the bridges fail, and you know, these things that we look at and think are just rock solid and that will be there forever. I think there's a story there, a lesson there, that, you know, when we see these things, these marvels that we've done in settling this land and putting in dams for flood control and things like that, we've sure seen it, especially in Colorado and the mountains there. But it just takes, like you said, Tim, a little more rain. Hey, the ground's wet, and you know, when you get 6 inches of rain in 6 hours, it's more than these dams and flood control can handle. And I think it is a reminder that, you know, our God kind of controls these things. No kind of about it. He does. He brings this rain. And we are to stay in touch with Him, prayed up, and in touch with Him, so that you know, we can continue to have His protection when these things come, and the opportunity to pray for others when these things come. I know some of the pictures that came out of like Colorado Springs and places down south, as well as Interstate 80, the car pileups and many cars were just left side the road or pulled over in the ditch, and it almost looked like you know, some type of nuclear attack, almost, to where the cars just stopped running, boom, and I guess they lost visibility, and that's where they ended up. But praise the Lord, we're back to blue skies. Got a beautiful sunrise coming up here in just a few minutes at the Radio Ranch. And yesterday was a good dig-out day for most. Know a lot of people are still running the plows today. And I like what you said, too, Tim, about that pioneer spirit. We saw that here. You know, saw neighbors out helping neighbors dig out and digging vehicles out of the ditch and pulling them out of the ditch and doing things like that. And it is good to see that in times of adversity, in times of trial, in times of trouble, that people are helping people. And I don't know that you see that in the other countries of the world. You know, you see us certainly going there, whether it's Mexico or Haiti or wherever it may be. And I think that's because the people of the other world don't do that. It's not written on their heart to do that. But we sure see it here, and it's in times of storms and troubles and things like that that comes out. So it should be encouraging.
Yeah, this storm came through Colorado. I mean, a couple of things that were really strange about it is, well, number one, it's like, I don't know what people were expecting, because March is generally Colorado's snowiest month. You know, we haven't had a storm that's come through in a while that's been like this, but it was really nothing out of the ordinary for wintertime. I mean, you know, you live in Colorado in the wintertime, you got to expect snow. That's kind of one of the things that happens out here. You know, April is the third snowiest month in the state of Colorado. And, you know, we haven't had much snow in April in the last couple of years, but, you know, history shows that's one of the snowiest months in Colorado, along with, you know, 32 other states. It was interesting when this storm came through, because it was like a pre-planned deal, because, I mean, the courthouse was supposed to open at 8:30 and they shut it down at 8. Everything was shut down, and they just, out here, they weren't plowing the roads. In the snowstorms that have come through that we've had, even when we've got a little bit of snow earlier on in this year, they just weren't out. They weren't plowing the roads like they normally do. You know, they, before, you know, if they know a storm's coming, you can tell that they're, you know, there's an inch of snow on the ground and they're plowing the roads. You know, they're up and down and all over the place and preparing for it. This time it was like they knew it was coming, but they weren't taking care of the roads. It's almost like they wanted it to shut down for a day or two. And it was a long time before they got some of these roads. I mean, if you don't plow them at all and you let them get, you know, 6 inches of snow on them, it's, takes a lot longer to get the snow off. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, if you didn't have a four-wheel drive, you were in trouble. I noticed that, too, when we were coming back from over the mountains there at the basketball tournament, even up on Wolf Creek Pass and La Vida Pass. I mean, there was at least 6 inches of snow on the ground, and I can remember days, you know, where all you see is plows one after another just clearing the road.
Exactly.
And if you didn't have four-wheel drive, you were done. There was a lot of people with two-wheel drive cars that had to turn around, go back down, and wait till the storm moved on and they got the roads opened up. But I think another interesting thing is the fact that our legislation decided to take advantage of that storm. Don't know exactly how all the legislators got there. Wouldn't doubt if our governor sent Humvees to pick them up and bring them in. But anyways, they had the Senate vote on a bill to basically destroy oil and gas in the state. If you remember back at the election, there was a bill in November, there was a bill to pretty much kill oil and gas in Colorado, and the people of Colorado voted against it, and so now they're legislating these things through. But it's, you know, basically you got about four to five older senators that are they call them the Boulder Mafia, basically working with the governor to undermine the will of the people. It's pretty sad, really, if you think about it. The fact that there's like a 2,000-page bill, and the only thing that Republicans could do to slow it down was to have it read publicly. So what did they do? Well, first they had an automated reader. Well, actually, they started out with a human, and it was taking too long. So then they did automated reading, and then they set it up with a Google reading program where it's 600 words a minute, and that wasn't even fast enough for them. So they had four parts of the bill being read at 600 minutes, you know, 600 words per minute. So it was gibberish, but it fulfilled the requirement. So, I mean, that's just how arrogant.
Pharisaical.
Colorado.
Sounds kind of like a dictatorship.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you're talking about that, and I know that eastern Colorado, there's a lot of oil and gas going on out there in the Yuma area and over in there. And you think about, then the other thing that seems like raised out that way is there's a lot of cattle out there, and I think it's worth noting, you know, you think about this AOC Green Deal thing, and of course it appears to me that every word that comes out of her mouth is nothing but a direct attack upon the Western way of life as far as farming and any kind of production goes. And you know, that's just another Lego in the building chain that they seem to want to. They're building a wall too. It's just a wall that destroys any kind of ability of somebody to make a living or anything like that. I mean,
yeah,
it's going on. Wow. I did see where Missouri's got a bill up right now that was, I just thought it was interesting. It's House Bill 1108. They one of them wants, they want everybody to own an AR-15 in Missouri under this bill. So I thought that was kind of a...
It's like, you know, 40 acres and a mule, huh? Everybody needs to have one of these.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought it was, in the face of all this, you know, the Connecticut judicial just ruled that the Sandy Hook people can sue Remington, and they can proceed with that under unfair trade practices. And in the course of looking at that, there was another article there about the AR-15 thing. And of course, I was talking to one guy, and he goes, "Well, that's kind of like the fix is in." And I said, "I said God still sits on the throne.
Amen.
We think that, and we see things like that sometimes, but." Maybe that's just one of those things that's another nail in their coffin, you know, in the Antichrist's agenda. It's like, no, you're not gonna do that. And there's such a move out there to keyhole and shelf everyone who serves Jesus Christ and who is for personal freedom and responsibility and working for a living and all of the things that we know that the Bible and God holds for us. And there's a lot of saber rattling going on about that. And the thing that occurred to me, and of course I know it's nothing new to everybody, but I just thought it was something that bears saying, is the fact that you know, the louder they rant and rave and rail against God, the more power that we should realize he has. Because it's just like a, you know, they're just yelling at the wind with no power. God has all of that power, and it's like, you guys don't win. That's how the story ends. You don't win.
Amen.
So, you know, I always think about that. God laughs at them in derision against their plans, and it's like, it's really, when you think about it, the fact that they are against God all the time, and that they set themselves up to undo everything that he's done, or that he's set in motion, or that he's ordained, it is funny. I mean, it's that's the way it strikes me. And so sometimes a laugh at him is not a bad thing, you know.
Yeah, amen.
God laughs at you, and so do we.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and it was interesting this week because there was a guy, one of the things that happened, it happened up in Anchorage, Alaska, and one of the roofing contractors that was working on the, Commission for Human Rights building for the state of Alaska, and he gets out and he comes out to his truck, and he's got two business cards that were put on the front of his windshield, and basically asking him to please not park this truck with that offensive material on the back of your truck in this parking lot. And this is the roofing contractor that's trying to fix their roof. And basically he had a very small Black Rifles Matter sticker that he got from a veteran's support group thing that he had went to try to raise money for wounded veterans, and gets out and has this on there. And then, you know, kind of they thought it was a hoax at first, until they noticed that Alaska Department of Human Resources had actually posted it on their Facebook page and Twittered it, and taken pictures of the sticker that was on his truck. And so it's been, you know, I mean, it really shows where they stand. And so they've been getting a lot of calls saying, okay, you're supposed to be standing up for our rights, but therefore you do not support the Second Amendment. What's up with this? We need a statement. And it's turned into a pretty big controversy up there, pretty not just there, but all over the country, because they're getting calls left and right and are like, you know, what is the deal? You're supposed to be fighting for our rights, and is the Second Amendment one of our rights? And we want to know where you stand on it. It went to the point of actually the law enforcement is in doing an investigation on it up there, because there's so many people that are upset about the whole ordeal. So I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, I mean,
it is.
That's
absolutely
just the way, that's the way it is. They will come out and they will say, okay, yeah, we're for your rights if they agree with our political agenda. And it's, you know, it's perfectly fine for them to agree with you when it goes along with their agenda. But when it's not, then they're not really necessarily for all of your rights. And, you know, you run into that just about everywhere you go. But, you know, I think that the thing that people need to realize is, you know, the Second Amendment is one of your rights. Either you use it or you lose it. You know, it's,
right.
You know, it's something that needs to be protected and shall not be infringed on is shall not be infringed on. You know, it stops there. You know, I know a lot of people out there that, you know, I've talked to here even recently, and they're like, okay, well, do I really need one of those AR-15s? And I'm like, no, you don't need one, and you might never shoot one. But why don't you exercise your right and go buy one? And you know, just that a simple statement, it's like gets them thinking. It's like, you know what? You're right. You're right. Why don't we exercise our rights? And there's a lot of people that, you know, just because it doesn't mean anything to them because they don't own one. Well, it's a lot different when you own one, and it makes you a lot more inclined to want to protect that. You know, it's really easy for people to talk about aborting babies or versus putting them up for adoption or something like that when they have no children at all.
That's right.
It's a lot more serious of an issue when you have children and you start talking about some of those issues. And you know, I mean, that's just the way it is in so many different facets of our political system. So it's, you know, yeah, you might never use an AR-15. You might never go out and shoot it. You might never go to the range and practice with it, plink with it, shoot prairie dogs with it. You know, that's just fine and dandy. But it's one of your rights, and you should exercise your rights to do it. So, you know, that's my two cents on that. But it is what it is. I mean, we need more of them out there. I mean, you know, these people need to be shut down and need to be held accountable. When you've got a government agency that is supposed to be protecting your rights, and then, oh, yeah, okay, we want to protect your rights, but we just don't want to protect this one or that one or that one. They need to be held accountable. So it's people's duty to hold their government accountable to them for the laws and regulations that we have. And I encourage people to do that. And it's one of those things that sometimes it's not easy to do. Sometimes it just, you don't feel real comfortable doing it. But, you know, that doesn't take away from your responsibility to do it.
Amen. Amen.
Crazy thing is that was in Alaska.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the last frontier.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it lets you know that.
They're railroading through here in Colorado is this red flag bill, and they're just trying to push it through with no opposition. And basically, it started out as if anyone thinks that you're a threat or you're mentally ill or you have, you know, issues against the establishment, all they have to do is report you to law enforcement, and they have the right to come and seize your firearms, not only yours, any that you have access to, whether it's a relative or a neighbor or a brother or whatever. And unfortunately, they've got that refined a little bit, but still, the bottom line is, I mean, they're they're coming hot and heavy after the guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a backdoor attack. I mean, just like that. That's gun confiscation through the backdoor. Like, and one of the other things that they're doing is I just read Facebook and social media right now. They're Florida was, and it's probably not going to get through, but it's still significant that they would even write it down and waste the time to do it. But Florida's trying to pass a bill that any minor that has a picture of a gun on Facebook, whether it's a BB gun or a Nerf gun or an actual you know, firearm that has a picture posted on social media, that was the word they used, that the cops would have to go and take the gun, you know. And it's like you're back to that Second Amendment right again. Out of one side of their mouth, they want 16-year-olds and 16-year-olds to vote in elections, but they're not allowed to exercise any of their other rights. And by the way, being a minor and shooting a firearm isn't illegal. I mean, there's all kinds of legal methods under the current laws where minors can target practice and do different things. So, you know, there was that bill that's up for consideration, which, like I say, probably won't pass, but it shows where their mind goes to as far as, you know, they're trying to affect the minds and thoughts of these younger generations to do that. And it's very important that we reach out to our youth. And I mean, I remember the movement when I was younger, you know, take a kid hunting, take a kid fishing,
yes.
You know, teach your kids to, the schools used to have target championships in them with rimfire, and they were big deals, well supported. I mean, you know, but now if you have a Pop-Tart in the shape of a handgun and, you know, a kindergartner's playing with it while he's expelled, I mean, it's like, okay. But on one of the interesting news pieces is the Kentucky governor signed a law Monday that Kentucky went to constitutional carry, just like 16 other states.
Amen.
So, you know,
we're seeing that growing. Great. You know, we are. And that is a really good thing. I think that ties right in with what Jason was talking about, you know, you people are realizing you either use these rights or you lose them. You know, it makes me think of water rights out here. You know, water's real big out in the West. It has been. I didn't realize it when I lived back east or down south, but it is big out here. You get all this snowfall, you get all these you know, there's tons of irrigation ditches and whatnot, and water rights go back to the 1800s out here. And the way all the water rights are written, you either use them, and if you don't use them for sometimes even just 3 years, you lose it, and it goes to the next guy or to the highest bidder or whatever. And you, it has to be used or it is lost, you might say. And it is that way with our Second Amendment right. And it is, we're seeing it more and more. We talked last week about the sanctuary counties in Colorado and New Mexico that are, you know, that are coming up, that the county commissioners are voting the way the people are telling them, you know, actually representing the people, and they're passing these that, hey, our county will not enforce a law that's against the Constitution. It's as simple as that. And we're seeing more and more. Cherokee County, even way out in North Carolina, Cherokee County just yesterday signed that they're now a sanctuary, a gun sanctuary is how they worded it, county. And, you know, we are seeing more and more that it's a type of an awakening. Now, to what extent it goes, and is it people repenting and turning back to Christ? I hope that at least they're thinking, they're starting to think a little bit more. That, hey, wait a minute, this is not right. What's going on here? And we have to do something. Like you said, Jason, you know, we talk about living in this great land of the free and home of the brave. Well, there's a great responsibility that comes with that. It's not just sit back and drink beer and watch football. There's a little bit more to it than that. And it is that, you know, that responsibility that we all have to hold our government accountable and to do what needs to be done. And so it's encouraging to me. You know, now you contrast that with some of the elected officials in this nation. Pelosi, for one. You know, she's pushing again to drop the voting age down to 16. I don't know if you guys saw that this week. But it's nothing new under the sun. You know, it's more of the confusion of Babylon. Back in before the Vietnam War, the voting age was 21. But when they reinstituted the draft and started drafting 18-year-olds, they pushed and promoted in the early 70s to drop the voting age down to 18, and they've done that. Well, now Pelosi's pushing to drop it down to 16. And this was a quote that she had, and it ties in with our pastor's teachings, where, you know, he reminded and taught everybody that we are in a war, and part of the rules of warfare of our enemy is they have to tell you what they're either going to do or what they want to do or what they've done. They just have to tell you that. That's just all there is to it. This is her quote. She says, we have to capture the kids while they're in high school. Now, capture is a war terminology. You know, she didn't say we have to, get across to the children the importance of voting. Nothing like that. No, it's this warfare term. We have to capture the kids when they're in high school. And there's a whole message on that as well. But that's her terminology. What's interesting, too, is back in 2016, she's from San Francisco, Pelosi is. That's where her constituents are. In 2016, the people in her area in San Francisco defeated a referendum to lower the voting age to 2016, back in 2016. And so even where she comes from, the people voted against it. She's still pushing and promoting it. And it's part of this, you know, trying to get these children. Seems like we read somewhere that there will come a time that women and children will rule over you. And it seems like those I dare even call her a woman. I don't know what she is. I think a creature of instinct is what
California.
She is. Yeah, and
California,
that's where it is.
Started years ago with the people voting against giving illegal aliens benefits before it was an invasion. And bottom line was, it's not a government of the people for the people anymore. We can see that all across the country. If they can't get it through in the elections, then they'll mandate it. And that's exactly what they're doing in Colorado. This Amendment 112 was to limit gas and oil drilling. People of Colorado voted against it, and now they're legislating the same principles into law because they've taken over the House, the Senate, and the governorship. But there's some people who are really outraged and talking about trying to recall the governor. And because here's the thing, you can recall senators, but bottom line is then the governor just appoints somebody. So
right,
you can bet you may get somebody worse than what you had. But I don't know, it's just it's, you know, God's going to give us a Red Sea predicament where there's nothing else but his grace, mercy, compassion, and intervention that's going to be the reason why we're saved. And that's what we need to realize, that that's pretty much what he's going to it's going to come down to that Red Sea predicament as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, and it's, well, and I had a neighbor, I was talking to a neighbor here the other day, and he said, well, I don't know, he's concerned over this, and this is just kind of a John Q. Public fellow, you know, I mean, I have been blessed with the opportunity to talk to him, but he was talking about this influx of aliens, and he said, well, I don't really know how many come across there, they don't have any of those numbers. So I got to thinking about it, and I was like, well, I should do some digging. So I did a little. One of the things that I found out was in the month of February alone, as far as the illegal aliens coming over the border, they recorded 76,325 you know, apprehensions on the southern border. That was in 1 month. That actually, and I knew there was a lot, but that kind of wowed me. I was like, it's worse than I thought. And I knew it was bad. You know, we have towns in our area that are not even half that big. So that's in 1 month. And, they said that, ICE employees had to spend time in the hospitals with some of these apprehensions, and that since December 22nd, they had put in 57,000 man hours at the hospitals guarding these guys and everything else. And it's like, it's just, and people think that there's no wall needed or that there's no issue there. And we've talked about it being a form of asymmetric warfare, but, you know, the whole deal with this Green Deal thing to me is so ludicrous that I can't believe anybody would even consider it. I mean, it's insanity at any level. I'm not going to go into that, but what I am going to go into as far as that goes with that is, well, if it's so great, why don't you just go back to the country that you came from where they have it? Oh, wait, they're starving to death. They don't have any water. They don't have any electricity. They don't have any food. You know, they don't have any of those things. And we've got all these illegal aliens coming in from those places that have disease and all this expense and all this overload. And it's just, it's what you said. Red Sea predicament. I mean, it literally is, it's on our doorstep. I mean, you can see yourself up against that body of water and look to the south and see, you know, all these, people coming in that, are like locusts, you know. So, God save America again.
Amen. Amen.
Now you can see the masterful plan of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. You know, they take over the school systems and they dumb the people down. Then they take over the media, and I don't know if you ever heard of that Operation Mockingbird, but basically, since the 40s and 50s, been a CIA effort to control all the American media, which obviously we knew about that, but... think of the significance of that. You know, there's so many people, and unfortunately, it's a majority of people who just believe what they see on the mainstream media.
That's right.
And I don't know if you ever, just for fun, once in a while, just go look at some of this stuff, but you can see that every single article is slanted, you know, in the favor of the left and the Antichrist.
Yes.
Every single article. I mean, you can read on one website something that's going on, and then go to another one that's, you know, MSNBC or CNN or whatever. And they're masters at deception. And the sad thing is the people have been dumbed down so much, the majority of them, that they believe the lies. You know, it's just mind-boggling in some ways to think that, how could you be that stupid? But even, you know, you talk about the Green Deal, you got 100, over 100 now, senators and representatives that are signing on with that deal. That's significant. I mean, that's
absolutely,
you're talking about,
it is
the planned destruction of the country. That's what that is.
Sure it is. It is. And it's the tares in the wheat coming true, because you know, it's the when we read about that time of harvest that fast approaches, it's when the tares stand up straight and tall and proud and haughty, and they say, oh, we're part of this too. They have that false pride, and they stand up, and they want to be counted with others like that. And that's what we see, that's what we are seeing. And it's sure, in my opinion, that time of the harvest fast approaches. It does. Just from what we see.
They can link Amazon now, Jeff Bezos and his family, all the way back to CIA as like a Amazon. You know, Amazon didn't just come out of nowhere, just like Google didn't just come out of nowhere. It's been funded by billions and billions of dollars. So if you ever wonder where the trillions of dollars that they can't account for have gone, that'll tell you. But anyways, you know, the sad thing is most of us are guilty of supporting these kind of things, and we really need to be careful. We're falling into the same traps that even the early churches fell into. Remember, it was the Roman Catholic Church who changed immersion baptism
to sprinkling under the guise of it being more convenient. So, you know, when we are using Amazon because it's more convenient, we are contributing to the destruction. Because they are nothing more than a conglomerate. You know, Walmart probably was responsible for the destruction of more small towns in this country than any other single source. And now you got a behemoth that's not only destroying the small businesses, it's destroying all businesses that are not related, who don't fall in line with Amazon. And, you know, just like Walmart, if you put all your eggs in one basket and all of a sudden all you're doing is providing goods and services to Amazon to disperse it to consumers, all of a sudden they got control over everything, and that's the reality of it. So I think we need to be careful that we're not contributing to the destruction.
Amen. I agree.
Well, and it's interesting because one of the things that Amazon's done too over the years is Amazon on a large, they have quite a few products. I don't know what the percentage breakdown would be, but it's a lot of them are third party sellers. But what's happening is they've got the ability to do is they can track all your sales. So they track your sales, and it's talk about a perfectly. Brilliant marketing plan is they look at your data. You basically, when you're using an Amazon fulfillment center, you take your products, you have it shipped into an Amazon warehouse. You're renting space in their warehouse where they stock your products. You're paying a monthly fee and per square foot of space that's on there, and then you pay them per order for filling it. Well, what a lot of people are finding out is like, oh, they had some great ideas and they were doing really good and they were selling a lot of products and they were making money hand over fist. And it was great until Amazon decided to be their direct competitor. Next thing you know is Amazon's got their own line of the same product or the same product on the shelf. And, Amazon is a little bit cheaper. Or they'll push them out and they won't allow them to sell their product. And it's, they look at it and they can see that, okay, yeah, hey, this person here is making money. This business is making money. They're doing good. This is, a good idea. We can start doing this ourselves. So next thing you know is people are getting booted from Amazon and Amazon's still carrying the same product, but this time it's offered not as a third party item. It's offered directly from Amazon itself. So, kind of feeding the beast there on that end of the deal as well.
Yeah, the thing that woke me up was the fact when they bought Whole Foods. I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is supposed to be an online retailer, and all of a sudden, for one, they own the Washington Post, which we all know is fake news. But then when they bought Whole Foods, that was an eye opener for me. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, what can stop this conglomerate from just taking over everything? And that's really what's happening, and it's a sleeping dog, I think, because a lot of people you suggest to some people that we shouldn't be using Amazon, and they just look at you like you're insane. Well, what do you mean? It works so great. We give a second day free delivery and everything else. I said, yeah, well, right now you do, but wait till they have the monopoly of everything, and they can charge you whatever they want for anything, and there's nobody else to provide any services, because that's where we're headed.
That's right. Yeah, the people don't realize we've moved
all the way on a lot of things already. I mean, there's a lot of things that even in, Fort Collins has got a lot of resources, but there's a lot of stuff that you just simply can't find or get, or you ended up waiting for it. And I mean, it's already becoming that way. I mean, you go into the store and you go into a parts store here in Fort Collins, you would be shocked at how many times that the people there are like, oh, have you checked Amazon yet? Have you checked Amazon yet? You know, it's going to take us 2 or 3 weeks to get this product before we can get it to you. And a lot of times they'll pull it up right there in the store, and they're like, oh, here, you can order it from Amazon, and you can have it in 2 days. It's already hurting businesses, drastically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say is, you know, it's not just the brilliance of an entrepreneur that brought Amazon into existence, and it's not just the brilliance of an entrepreneur that brought Google into existence. These things are designed by the enemy to destroy God's people. That's the bottom line.
Are you saying that there might be a conspiracy here?
Maybe a little one.
You're one of those conspiracy nuts. Well, let me share. We're running out of time here this morning, and boy, the hour goes fast. And didn't know if you saw that the somebody got fired this past week. Did you see that, guys? Somebody got fired. His name is Morris Dees, and the Southern Poverty Law Center fired him, suggesting that his misconduct played a role in that decision. You know,
the caught with another little boy.
You know, I don't know what it was, but
probably
it goes on. Says today we announced a number of immediate, concrete next steps we're taking, including bringing in an outside organization to conduct a comprehensive assessment of our internal climate and workplace practices to ensure that our talented staff is working in the environment that they deserve, one in which all voices are heard and all staff members are respected. And so when you read between the lines on that, you see that, you know, he's facing allegations of sexual harassment again. And so, yeah. And when I saw this, this was just this week, it brought to mind that, you know, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And that's one thing that this ministry and many of the remnant have been praying is for, and you've led us in it, John, for the things that have been done in the dark to be brought to light, and the things that were done in secret to be made known. And we are seeing these idols fall. We're seeing it in the media, and we're seeing their college admission bribes and scandals being brought to light, things that have been going on for years that nobody had a clue about. And we're seeing this very thing by this Antichrist Morris Dees, that the things that he's done are being brought to light. That they're not just enjoying a nice quiet retirement or just kind of enjoying their golden years, but this, the filth that they've done is coming out, and I say praise God.
Amen. Yeah, well, there's some huge lawsuits that have been filed against the Southern Poverty Law lately for defamation and things like that. So, you know, make no mistake, they're just trying to cut their losses.
Oh, sure. And blame it all on him. Because most of it is him.
Yeah, exactly.
I think most of it is him.
But it is an answer to prayer, that's for sure. You know, this ministry has come against the Southern Poverty Law Center many a time and exposed Morris Dees for what he is. And, you know, sometimes things don't happen the way, in the timing that we want, but they all happen in God's timing. And bottom line is we just need to keep praying that the things in the dark would be brought to the light, shouted from the rooftops, and claim the promises that God gave us, because, you know, the only one thing he can not do is, I mean, he can't lie. So
Amen. Once we
realize that and we become obedient, you know, then all of these promises are there and they will be fulfilled.
Amen. Well, guys, phone line's ringing. Let's try that. We got a minute or two left this morning. Good morning. Well, no, I guess not. And we do just have a couple minutes left. That college admission.
The shooter.
Or go ahead.
Well, look at that shooter there. That shooter in New Zealand. Christ Church, New Zealand. Okay. Well, first, if the place is called Christ Church, makes you wonder why there's multiple mosques there, but you can see that the first reports were that it's a white supremacist, Trump supporting, you know, whatever.
Yeah, in New Zealand.
The reality is the guy's got a 1500, the guy who claimed responsibility and apparently openly filmed, or I don't know what, streamed it on Facebook, had a 1500 page manifesto
which the big tech media is trying to scrub as fast as they possibly can, that exposes that he was really nothing but a socialist communist who most admired more than any other country, China. So you can see another false flag event taking place here, mainly to come against the Trump supporters and you know, blame it on white supremacists, and probably to further curtail the internet, you know, limiting what's available on the internet is what I think the ultimate goal is. Censoring is what the word I was looking for.
Right.
Yeah. Control of those websites.
Yeah, maybe they need more gun laws there in New Zealand. I think they have the same gun laws as Australia, don't they?
Yeah, pretty sure.
And already have some of the strictest gun laws in the world.
I find it interesting that you could have mosques in a place called Christchurch. Because you did, years, you know, even 10 years ago, I say you didn't have them.
Christchurch has been in the news in years gone by multiple times for various earthquakes and other things, too.
Oh, I know.
We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
So, and the significance of Christchurch and the name.
Yeah. So. I don't think God will allow them to mock and blaspheme his name in that way. So,
yeah.
You know, there's been disaster after disaster taking place there. And
there has
when
been.
You look into it, just as we have, there, it's definitely not the behavior of the people in that area is not Christchurch, that's for sure.
No, no, the earthquakes and the turmoil that's been there. Well, guys, we're about out of time.
Yep.
I want to thank everyone for joining us both here and out in the remnant, and want to invite you to church tomorrow. We'll start up at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. At scriptures4america.org, right there on your web, on the internet. There's some good that can come out of that. scriptures4america.org. You can join us for the live stream, and we'll have a little bit of everything for you. Been having some fantastic timeless pulpit truths and some words of wisdom and prophecy from sometimes 30 years ago that we see it coming true. We have seen it come true in our lifetime. And John, looking forward to your message. Got your graphics, and looking forward to that tomorrow. Folks, we'll have communion. We'll have some good music, and so we invite you to come and get some truths from the Word of God, and partake of communion, and do what we as Christians are supposed to do. And so we do invite you. And again, you can join us at scriptures4america.org, and. We hope to see you there.
Rolling, 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 this country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hell and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high.